We present Peter Cook and Marjorie Westbury in the Francis Durbridge serial Paul Temple and the Van Dyke Affair. Episode 3, introducing Mr. Drusty.
Charles Murray, 173 Rue Saint-Lazare, Paris.
But, Paul, this is the same address, the one you told me about.
The one that was on the receipt.
Yes, and that receipt was for a pair of gloves?
Exactly.
Supposing that man, the one who was murdered at Marlowe...
Call him Baker.
All right, well, supposing Baker was murdered because he refused to... No. No, that doesn't make sense.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, Tommy.
There was a phone call for you this morning from a Mr. Drusty. He wants you to ring him back. I wrote the number down on the pad.
Oh, let me see. Grosvenor 2191.
That's right, sir.
Mr. Drusty?
Yes. Well, I think that's what it was. I expect I spelt it wrong.
I expect you have, Charlie. Did he say what it was he wanted to speak to me about?
No, sir. No, he just said, would you please ring him back?
All right, Charlie.
Okay, sir.
Drusty. Do you know him?
Well, the name seems familiar. Well, we'll see what it's all about.
Good afternoon, Grosvenor 2191.
Could I speak to Mr. Drusty, please?
Who is it speaking?
My name's Temple.
Oh, one moment, Mr. Temple.
Hello?
Mr. Temple's on the line, sir.
Oh. Mr. Temple?
Yes?
Philip Drusty here. How very nice of you to ring.
I understand you telephoned me this morning.
That's quite right, I did. Your man told me that you were out of town. I trust you had a pleasant weekend.
Well, the weather was delightful.
I'm so glad. Mr. Temple, I want to talk to you about a mutual friend.
A mutual friend?
Yes, Walters.
Walters? I don't think I know anyone called Walters.
Well, perhaps friend was hardly the right word. You met 2 or 3 days ago. He's the cloakroom attendant at the Commodore Club.
Oh.
Could you pop in one evening, Mr. Temple? We could have a drink together.
Which particular evening have you in mind?
Well, that's up to you, old man. I'm always here. Well, why not tonight?
All right.
Shall we say 8 o'clock?
Yes, that'll do nicely.
It's 47B Park Lane. It's the top flat.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, old man. Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Well, who is Mr. Drusty?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I should think he's South American, but he seems determined to be more English than the English. He kept calling me old man.
What does he want?
Well, apparently he wants to talk to me about the cloakroom attendant at the Commodore Club.
Oh, don't be silly.
I'm not being silly, that's what he said.
Sir Graham Forbes is here, sir.
Ah.
Oh, come in, Sir Graham.
Hello, Steve.
You're
Hello.
Just the man I want.
Oh.
Sir Graham, tell me, do you know a man called Drusty?
What, Philip Drusty?
Yeah.
Yes, he owns the Commodore Club.
Does he? That's interesting. What's he like?
Well, you hear such extraordinary stories about Drusty. He's got a flat in Park Lane, or rather a penthouse.
Yes, I gathered that.
They say he never leaves it from one weekend to the next. You certainly never see him about the West End.
Doesn't he ever go to the Commodore Club?
Good heavens, no. You wouldn't get him within a mile of the place. He's a very shrewd bird, is Drusty. Before the war, he owned the Paybox Club, the Palazzo Hotel, and 2 or 3 dance halls. I don't know if there's any truth in it, but they say he's worth about $3 million.
Oh. Is he straight?
Well, we've never had any trouble with him, if that's what you mean. But why are you interested in Drusty?
Well, apparently he wants to see me. He phoned through while we were at Marlowe, but I spoke to him just now.
I see. Well, I suppose you've heard about the Desmond baby.
Yes.
What do you make of it?
Well, there's a perfectly simple explanation, I suppose, if one's prepared to accept it.
What's that?
Miss Millicent kidnapped the child, then thought better of it, or probably got frightened when she read the newspaper.
Is that what you think?
No.
I thought not. Temple, I'm worried about this case. Eden's a good man, but he doesn't seem to be making any headway.
You can't expect him to make any headway, Sir Graham, not until he really knows what it's all about.
What do you mean?
Well, who this Mr. Van Dyke is and what his racket is.
Frankly, I don't think Van Dyke has any racket.
Really?
This isn't like the Gregory affair or the Curzon case. I think it simply boils down to the fact that we're up against a criminal lunatic.
No, I don't agree, Sir Graham.
Why?
Take this fellow down at Marlow who was murdered. Someone sent him down there for a particular reason. Incidentally, you remember the receipt that Eden found on Digby, or rather, Baker?
Yes, I've already been in touch with the French people about it. The address on the receipt's genuine. It's a small shop. They sell gloves, handbags. You know the sort of shop? Paris is full of them.
Yes, I rather gathered the address was genuine. Take a look at this glove.
Where did you get it?
Mrs. Desmond dropped it.
Mrs. Desmond?
Yes.
When?
About 10 minutes ago.
But why on earth should Mrs. Desmond... You know, Temple, this business just doesn't make sense.
No, it makes sense, all right, but not to us. Sir Graham, tell me, what are the chances of finding out who that man was? The man who was murdered?
Well, we've given the story to the press. There'll be a detailed description of him in the evening papers.
It's all right, I'll answer, Paul. Hello?
Hello?
Who is that?
Is that you, Mrs. Temple?
Yes.
This is Terry Palmer here.
Oh.
Could I have a word with your husband?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, thanks awfully.
It's Terry Palmer. He wants a word with you.
Ah, that's interesting. I wonder if it's about the glove. Hello, Palmer.
Oh, sorry to bother you, Temple, but...
I thought you were on your way to Eastbourne.
Well, we are. Actually, I'm in a call box at the moment.
Ah. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, do you happen to know if Mary... Mrs. Desmond dropped one of her gloves while she was outside your flat.
Yes, she did. I got it here. I was going to post it on to you.
Oh, thank goodness. She was in a state about it. You'll post it on, then?
Yes, of course. How is Mrs. Desmond?
Well, she's still a bit upset, I'm afraid.
Really?
Yes, it's funny. You'd have thought that now Susan's safe, she'd be perfectly all right. I suppose it's reaction.
Yes. How is the baby?
Oh, Susan's all right. She's crying rather a lot, but... Oh, by the way, I promised Mary I'd speak to you about the doll... do you remember the one you found in the attaché case?
Yes, of course I remember that doll.
Well, do you think there's any chance of getting it back? Susan's devoted to that doll. You know what kiddies are. You buy them all sorts of new things, but they still cling to their old favourites.
No, so far as I know, Palmer, the doll's still Scotland Yard. I dare say I could have a word with the inspector about it.
Oh, I wish you would, Temple. Peace at any price, that's my motto. Well, thanks awfully. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Palmer. Did you gather what all that was about, Sir Graham?
Yes, I did. Now, what the devil's he getting at, Temple? Why is he so anxious to get hold of that doll? We've examined it from head to toe. It's just a perfectly ordinary doll.
But you may be mistaken, Sir Graham. It may not be just a perfectly ordinary doll.
But it is, Steve. We know it is. Besides, what else could it be?
Oh, a red herring?
...47B. This is it, Steve.
Yes.
I wonder if that's Drosty's place.
Where?
On the top there. Those enormous windows.
Oh, yes. It looks like it. Sir Graham said it was a penthouse.
Well, I don't expect I should be long.
All right, dear.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Excuse me.
Oh, hello, McCaw.
Why, hello there. I didn't recognize you.
Oh, what are you doing in Park Lane?
Just taking a look at the poor. You know how it is. Did you have a nice trip back to town?
If you overlook the fact that someone tried to shoot the daylight out of us, we had a delightful trip.
No, what happened?
About half an hour after we left Marlow, a bullet hit our windscreen.
Well, what do you know?
Somehow, I don't think it was intended for the windscreen.
But that's terrible. Is Mrs. Temple upset?
Oh, she's rather immune to that sort of thing now. Not that she cares for it, mind you.
I should have been petrified.
Just between ourselves, I was. do I work this thing?
No, sir, I'll take you up. What floor, sir?
Oh, I believe it's the top.
Mr. Drosty?
Yes, that's right. Goodbye, McCaw.
Goodbye, and take care of yourself.
I'll try.
Give my regards to Mrs. Temple.
Yes, thank you, I will.
Been up here before, sir?
No, I haven't.
Wonderful view. Best view in London, I reckon. Always tell Mr. Drosty he's got the best view in London.
Really?
Of course he's got the windows for it. Whopping big things. You have the old ones pulled out.
Oh, did he?
People thought he was balmy. He wasn't, though. He knew what he was doing all right.
Tell me, how long has he been here?
What, Mr. Drosty?
Hmm.
Oh, must be 15 years now. Yes, must be all of 15.
That gentleman I was speaking to, Mr...
Mr. McCall?
Yes, that's right. Does he come here very often?
Once a month, usually on the 15th. I think he works for Mr. Drosty. Don't know what he does exactly. Here we are, sir.
Well, thank you.
Press that button over there, over on the left. That's it.
Oh, Mr. Temple?
Yes?
My dear fellow, how nice of you to come at a moment's notice. I do appreciate it. It's most considerate of you.
No, not at all.
May I take your coat?
Oh, thank you.
I've given my man the night off. You know how difficult it is these days, the servant problem.
Yes, I do indeed.
Well, come along, old man. Come inside. Make yourself at home.
Oh, thank you. I say... It certainly is a wonderful view.
Yes. On a clear day, you can see right across the park.
It's magnificent. Tell me, what's that building over there with the neon light?
Oh, that's the Torre, a restaurant.
Oh, yes, of course, a horrid little place.
Yes.
Well, what's the joke?
I own it.
Why? I beg your pardon.
No, that's quite all right. Now, what can I get you to drink, old man? A dry martini?
Oh, thank you.
I thought so. I already have it mixed. You see, I once read an article about you, Mr. Temple. They said you never drank anything except dry martini.
Oh, well, a slight exaggeration.
Well, here you are.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, cheers.
Cheers. Well, do sit down, old man. Sit down.
Oh, thanks. Now, what is it you want to see me about, Mr. Drosty? On the telephone, you said something about Walters.
That's right, I did. Bert Walters. He works for me at the Commodore Club. You remember him?
Yes, I do. He gave me an attaché case 4 or 5 days ago.
That's quite right, he did. Mr. Temple, tell me, how did you manage to get hold of that ticket for the attaché case?
Why do you ask?
Well, I'm curious, that's all.
Well, if you must know, it was given to me by a friend of mine.
Mr. Palmer?
No, not Mr. Palmer.
I feel quite sure that at any moment you are going to tell me to mind my own business. But let me explain, old man. Ever since you took that case out of the cloakroom, there have been a great many questions asked. Bert Walters was dragged out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, and twice at a moment's notice he has been taken to Scotland Yard. And
yes, sir, I understand.
But why are the police so interested in him? Why are they keeping their eye on the Commodore?
Have you asked them why?
No, I haven't.
Well, then why don't you?
Because I prefer to ask you, Mr. Temple. After all, you took the case out of the cloakroom.
You still haven't told me why you're interested in this business.
But surely that's obvious, old man.
How do you mean?
I own the Commodore Club, so everything that happens there is naturally of interest to me. Besides, I don't want any trouble... Particularly just now.
No?
No. You see, Mr. Temple, I am applying for naturalization papers. It is my wish to become a British subject.
Oh, and do you think that this affair at
well,
the Commodore...
Well, you know what people say. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes, but surely just because you own the Commodore doesn't necessarily mean that you're responsible for everything that happens there.
Well...
Supposing one of the guests suddenly took it into his head to murder the head waiter.
He would have my complete sympathy.
Yes, but you could hardly be held responsible.
Look here, old man. I think I'd better put my cards on the table.
It might be an advantage.
I invited you here this evening because... There's something I want to know.
Well, go on.
I don't expect you to answer my question, but... Oh, I'm so sorry, old man. Let me get you a drink.
No, please. What is it you want to know, Mr. Rusty?
What was inside that attaché case?
Don't you know?
If I did, I shouldn't be asking you. You refuse to answer my question?
Have you asked the police?
Yes, I asked Inspector Eden.
What did he say?
In diplomatic language, he told me to mind my own business. Is that your reply too?
I'm afraid I'm not quite so diplomatic as the inspector. You remember reading about that baby, the little girl who disappeared?
Oh, the Miss Millicent affair.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, the little girl had a doll. It disappeared when the child was kidnapped.
Well?
That's what I found in the attaché case.
Are you serious?
Perfectly serious.
Tell me, was the doll examined by the police?
No, there was nothing inside it, nothing concealed, if that's what you're thinking.
What? Just a doll, in fact.
Exactly. Just a doll. And now, Mr. Drusty, perhaps you wouldn't mind answering a question or two?
I shall be delighted.
What did you imagine was in the attaché case?
I had a horrible feeling that someone might have stolen something, some jewelry, perhaps, and deposited it at the Commodore.
Well, I don't think I should worry as much about the Commodore as about the Wordsworth.
What do you mean?
You do own the Wordsworth Hotel at Marlow, don't you?
Yes, I do. Oh, I see what you're getting at, old man. This murder.
Yes.
Well, it's nothing to do with me. But how did you know that I own the Wordsworth?
I didn't. It was simply a guess. I bumped into McCall downstairs.
Oh, I see.
I suppose he told you what happened, that I discovered the body.
Yes, he told me.
You don't happen to know who he was, I suppose?
The man who was murdered?
Yes.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
I see. Tell me, have you heard of a man called Van Dyke?
Van Dyke, did you say?
I did.
Why do you ask?
He telephoned me several days ago. Unfortunately, I was out. He left no message.
No. No, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I've never heard of anyone called Van Dyke. Now, please, let me get you another drink. What? Vanessa?
Hello, Philip.
Sweetheart, I didn't expect you back until Thursday.
I know. I had to make up my mind very quickly. It was difficult. I didn't see anyone until last night, and
you
I...
look as if you need a drink, my sweet.
No, I had something on the plane.
Oh, I beg your pardon. This is my wife. Sweetheart, this is Mr. Temple. Well, you've heard of Paul Temple, Vanessa. He writes books, you know.
How do you do, Mrs. Drosty?
How do you do? What did you say? He writes what?
Books, darling. You know, sweetheart, things you read, books. Vanessa's always the same after a journey. Run along, my dear, and powder your nose.
Philip, I didn't see anyone until last night, and then it was too late.
Yes,
for
all
me.
Right, darling. There's nothing to worry about, my sweet. Run along.
Have you had a very long journey, Mrs. Drosty?
No, I've been in Paris 2 or 3 days, that's all.
But Vanessa, what is it? What's wrong?
Oh, you know what it is, Philip.
Look out, Vanessa. You'd better give her a drink, quickly.
I don't know what it is.
It's all right, Mrs. Johnston, it's all right.
Here, drink this.
No, I'll be better in a moment. Only...
Vanessa, don't be stupid. Drink this, please.
Thanks, silly of me. I'm sorry, Philip, but you
it's
know...
It's all right, my sweet. You couldn't help it.
I think I'd better go and lie down.
Yes, sweetheart, I think you'd better.
You must have a very odd opinion of me, Mr. Temple. I don't usually do this sort of thing, do I, Philip?
Only on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Oh, dear, how stupid of me. Where's my handbag?
Here it is.
Oh, thanks. And my gloves.
Here you are, Mrs. Drosty.
Oh, thank you.
Do you feel better now, my dear?
Yes. Now, I was ill in the plane coming over. I expect that was the trouble. I'll take some aspirin and lie down.
Well, now, old man, let me mix you that drink.
No, thanks. I think I better be making a move.
Oh, well, if you really must. I'm most grateful to you for your information.
Information?
About the doll.
Oh, yes.
It was very sporting of you, old man, to take me into your confidence. Believe me, I appreciate it.
Oh, that's all right. I hope you'll do the same for me sometime.
Yes, I hope so. Good night, Mr. Temple.
Good night, old man. Sorry I've been so long, Steve.
And did you see Drosty?
I did.
Don't Darling, you're onto something. What's happened?
You're dead right I'm onto something. Steve, I'm just beginning to see daylight. Things are beginning to add up.
How do you mean?
Not only did I meet Mr. Drosty, but I met Mrs. Drosty. And by Timothy, what a woman.
What do you mean, by Timothy, what a woman? What's so remarkable about Mrs. Drosty?
Shall I tell you?
Yes.
She buys her gloves from the same shop as Mrs. Desmond.
I'll carry that case down, Mrs. Temple.
No, it's all right, Charlie. Don't forget the passports, Paul.
No, I won't. Now, listen, Charlie, I want you to take particular note of what I'm saying.
Yes, sir?
If anyone rings up, it doesn't matter who they are, I don't want you to say anything about Mrs. Temple and me being in Paris. Mm-hmm. If they ask where we are, just say we're out of town for 2 or 3 days.
What if it's Sir Graham, sir?
Sir Graham won't ring. He knows where to get in touch with me if he wants to. Now, you understand, Charlie?
Oh, yes, sir. That's okay, sir. You leave it to me, sir.
Good. We shall probably be back on Thursday. Friday at the latest.
Okie doke, sir.
Well, goodbye, Charlie.
Goodbye, sir. Have a nice trip.
Oh, now, who on earth's that? I'll open it. Oh, hello, Shelley.
Hello, Mr. Temple. Are you just going out?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. I've got a train to catch. I'm in rather a hurry.
Oh, dear, how very tantalising. I did so want to have a word with you.
Sorry.
Oh, how vexing. Can't you spare me just a moment? It is important.
All right. Come in, but you'll have to make it snappy.
You're not going down to Marlowe again, are you?
No. We are going to stay with some friends. Now, what can I do for you?
I think perhaps you'd better read this.
What is it?
Well, read it.
The man you met at Marlowe, the man who called himself Baker, was Harry de Wolf. Let that be a warning, Mr. Shelley. When did you get this?
This afternoon. I recognized the handwriting the moment I saw it.
You recognized the handwriting?
Yes.
Well, whose is it?
Well, don't tell me you don't recognize it. It's Miss Millicent's.
Miss Millicent's? You sure?
Well, of course I'm sure. I've compared it with a letter she wrote me asking for an interview.
Well, assuming for the moment that you're right and that this note was written by Miss Millicent, why did she write to you instead of to Scotland Yard?
That's precisely what I want to know. I've never heard of anyone called Harry de Wolf.
Hmm. Well, Shelley, listen. I want you to take this note to Inspector Eden. Tell him I sent you and give him all the details.
Oh, but I don't like Eden. He's a ghastly person. Why do you think I brought it to you?
I'm sorry, Shelley. You'll have to see Eden. In any case, the Yard will want to check up on this man de Wolf.
Oh, I suppose the moment I take this note to Eden, he'll get suspicious. He'll probably think that I'm mixed up in this frightful business and wrote the note myself.
Did you?
Well, of course I didn't.
Well, there's nothing for you to worry about.
Nothing for me to worry about? I'm not so sure about that. Let that be a warning, Mr. Shelley. A warning against what? For goodness sake.
Yes, this is it, Paul. Look, gloves and handbags in the window.
Charles Marais. Yes, this is the shop, all right. Combien?
320 francs, monsieur.
Voici.
Merci, monsieur. Merci.
It's rather a nice little shop, isn't it?
Yes. Have you got that glove, Steve, the one Mrs. Desmond brought?
Yes, in my handbag.
All right, come on. Let's go inside.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, madame. Monsieur. What can I show you, madame?
I'm looking for a pair of gloves.
Oh, certainly, madame. For evening wear?
No, don't.
I understand, madame. What size?
6.5.
No, these are very nice, Steve.
Oh, they're very smart, monsieur. Très chic, vraiment. They only arrived this morning. They're from Bruxelles.
Have you got them in blue?
Oh, I'm afraid not, madame. In that particular glove, there's only just the one color. But one moment, please. Do you like these?
Oh, yes. Yes, they're very nice.
How much are those?
Those are 3,700 francs, 3,700 francs, monsieur.
What?
Oh, that's rather expensive.
Expensive, yes, but very good.
Have you got those in blue?
Ah, no, madame. They are just the three colors, black, red, and gray. You particularly want blue?
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
Ah, one moment, excuse me. I think I know what you will like, madame.
Have you looked at these gloves, Steve? There isn't a tab or a name on any of them.
Yes, I noticed that.
Now, madame,
Ah, those are very nice.
Très, très chic, madame.
Mm. How much are they?
4,200 francs.
Oh, 4,200.
Oui, what? Madame. Expensive, but very good.
So they are. Very nice, but I wanted something a little darker, if possible.
Oh, these are very dark, madame.
A friend of ours bought a pair of gloves from you. My wife was awfully taken with them. As a matter of fact, that's why we came here.
Oh, well, what were they like, monsieur?
Didn't you bring one with you, darling?
But of course I did. How stupid of me. It's in my handbag. Just a moment. Here it is.
That's the sort of glove we're looking for.
I did not realize that you wanted a pair like this. You will have to go to the Boulevard Seminaire, 29 Boulevard Seminaire.
Oh, is that a shop, too?
No, monsieur. It's an apartment. You go upstairs to the second floor. You understand me?
Yes, I understand.
I would suggest tonight, monsieur, if that's convenient.
Yes, that's convenient.
11 o'clock?
11 o'clock, 29 Boulevard Seminaire.
Ask for Mr. Palmer.
That was the third episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Van Dyke Affair, produced by Martin C. Webster. The part of Paul Temple is played by Peter Cook, Steve by Marjorie Westbury, Roger Shelley by Richard Handel, Philip Drusty by Simon Lack, his wife Vanessa by Griselda Harvey, and other parts by members of the BBC Drama Repertory Company.